Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new and first ever episode of The Mo Show on Rock M Radio, Season 1, Episode 1. What's fun here is that I am not your host. Today's guest will be your host here going forward, but we thought you might feel comfortable with me kicking this off in a familiar seat. So for today, and today only, I am your host, Sam Snelling. Joining me for his first foray into the Rock M Radio podsphere is Chad Moeller. Chad was a longtime sports information director at the University of Missouri, and he's now a part of our Rock and Radio team. Chad, welcome to the podcasting world. How are you?
Sam, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on my own show, right? That sounds kind of weird to say, but I do appreciate the setup and showing me the ropes and giving me a chance to do this kind of show. I'm really looking forward to getting into it and having what I think are going to be fun and exciting and informative discussions with a bunch of Mizzou-oriented names and people from, you know, the history books, if you will, and, you know, hopefully even maybe current Tigers. We'll have to see, you know, what direction things go, but I'm really looking forward to digging into it and trying to bring something unique to the Mizzou fan base.
Yeah, I think we sort of hopped in into this with the idea that, like, you benefit from having a pretty extensive Rolodex. You're at the University of Missouri for, about 2.5 decades?
Yeah, so it was right around 25 years, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people kind of coming through the athletics office and all that kind of stuff. So it does sort of allow you to build all kinds of relationships. But let's start with this because we are calling this the Mo Show on Rock M Radio. And while the state of Missouri, abbreviated, is Mo, M-O, that's not exactly the reason why we're calling this the Mo Show. Chad, could you explain why we selected the Mo Show?
Well, so when you all decided to give me a chance to do a show like this, I think that's one of the hardest things to try and come up with is what the heck are you going to call the show, right? Something that makes sense, something that's maybe catchy, that's not ridiculous. And then I came up with some really bad stuff that I know I shared with you. And I hope you never put it out there publicly, some of the things I came up with. But Mo is just a nickname that I've had for a very long time with my friends and acquaintances. And I thought it just kind of made sense. It kind of flows. And obviously with the state of Missouri, the abbreviation, I think it ties together. So, you know, is it going to be an award-winning show title? No, but makes sense for me. And I'm going to go with it at least for now.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I don't think a lot of shows win awards just for the title of the show. That's usually for the content of the show. And the content is what we're super excited about. So for people that are a little unfamiliar, this is going to be one of the kind of main benefits, I think, of our new little venture, RockM .plus. If anybody's unfamiliar at this point, you can head over to RockM .plus and get signed up and get all the early access to Chad and to these podcasts and what else is coming down the pike. So with all that kind of being said, Chad, what is, what are the things that we have to look forward to, what's coming down the pike? What are the kinds of guests that we can expect on the Mo Show?
Yeah, well, like you said, when you were around athletics for as long as I was, you do have quite an extensive contact list. And I hope I was nice enough to all those people that they'll want to join me for a show like this, and I'm pretty confident they will. But yeah, I want to talk to all sorts of people in the athletic world. I know I've reached out to Mike Kelly, the voice of the Tigers, and he's agreed to do a show with me. So I'm probably going to have him be my first guest once I get all this figured out. Looking forward to having a great conversation with him. We've known each other for a very long time, and I think we can have some fun with it. And after that, like you said, I know tons of people from my years at Mizzou, whether it's student athletes, coaches, administrators, all sorts of national sports media types. A lot of them are Mizzou grads. Obviously, you've got the Mizzou media mafia out there. I'm confident and looking forward to getting some of them on. Conference administrators, all that kind of thing. So I think I've got a lot of people who will enjoy coming on and talking about their experiences at Mizzou and certainly talking about the world of college athletics, where things stand right now. Obviously, we've been through a lot of changes in the last, 3-4 years. So I think there's a lot of discussions that we can have that will be pretty interesting.
Yeah. So one of the things I do want to kind of touch on is, we did say that you were a longtime SID at Missouri. What years were you at Missouri exactly? I know that you you wrapped up your career there and right about the time that a lot of people were wrapping up certain careers in the age of COVID. When did you start back at in 25 years before that?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, sure. So I went to Mizzou as an undergrad, graduated in 91, and then in the fall of 1982, I was given a chance to be a grad assistant in the sports information office in the athletic department, and did that for 2 years and got to be around some really cool moments, the 93-94 basketball team, of course, being the primary one that was fun to be a small part of, but nonetheless, I was there for all that exciting stuff. And then I got my first full-time job in the business down at Baylor. So I was down in Waco for 2 years as a full-time assistant. And then thankfully, I missed the David Koresh time period. That happened just before I got there. So didn't have to deal with any of that stuff. But
and you were also like just before all the Dave Bliss stuff that came after that.
Yeah, no doubt. They've had some crazy stuff going on down there. But and then in the fall of 96, I guess it was August of 96, an opening popped up back at Mizzou as a full-timer. And I tricked him into letting me come back a second time. So I had my second tour of duty with Mizzou and started there in the fall of 96. And I was Norm Stewart's PR guy for his final 3 seasons. And he only fired me, I think, 3 or 4 times that I, at least that I know of. It's a bit of a joke, but it's also, there's some truth in it. If you worked for Norm Stewart and he never fired you, that means he didn't know who you were, basically. So it's kind of a badge of honor that you carry with you. But and so then I also handled Quinn Snyder for his first three seasons, and those were the good seasons, I like to say. And then I moved over to football to handle football for the rest of my duration at Mizzou, and I was the primary PR contact for football for Coach Pinkel for I guess his duration, and then into Barry Odom for his tenure as well. And then, I was part of the team that helped recruit Coach Drink to come to Mizzou. And, you know, we hired him in December of 2019. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we fast forward to March of 2020 and the world basically ends. And Mizzou made a bunch of cuts. And unfortunately, they did a bunch of cuts in our department and decided to move on from some longtime people there. And, I had a great run, loved every minute of it, and wouldn't trade it for the world. So, I guess that's the synopsis of my career at Mizzou.
Well, and I would also kind of mention that, one of the things that you mentioned to me when we were first kind of discussing, you coming on at Rock'em Nation was how you miss certain things about that world, but also getting out of it, you realize like what the work kind of meant and what it kind of takes out of you, and it's a hectic place to be.
Yeah, it is. When you're in the middle of it and it's your life, you don't really realize what type of a grind that career is. And I'm not asking anyone to feel sorry for me, trust me, because it's a highly coveted position to have. It's, in the role of the sports information director, the PR person, the pay is not great. The hours suck. The stress is awful, but it's still a pretty cool job. It really can be, especially when you're part of something special, whether it's a team or a season or an individual achievement, that kind of thing that you get a chance to be part of and to promote and to have some success with. So, it was a wonderful career. I was very blessed to be, to have that for as long as I did. But you're right. When you get out of it, it's a lot like coaches. You hear when coaches retire, they don't know what to do with themselves, right? They're just so used to this lifestyle and this grind and this routine. So yeah, when you get out of it, it's a bit of an adjustment, but, I'm doing well with my, my new career at Veterans United Home Loans, a little plug for the nation's number one VA home purchase lender. And then having fun there, but still stay involved. I have a good relationship with the PR staff at Mizzou still. And I also help Coach Pinkel out on the side with some of his media stuff for his foundation. So I'm still attached, still love following the Tigers. It'll always be something I have a very fond spot for in my heart. And I guess the biggest benefit is I get to tailgate now. So that's something I have a natural affinity for. And I think I've picked it up nicely in the last few years. So I know how to tailgate now.
Excellent. So So any listeners to this, if you see Mo hanging around the tailgate parking lots before football games, go ahead and stop in and say hello. So I find it interesting that for so many years you're on the you're on the one side of the business, and I think it's interesting having coached basketball myself. There are kind of like there's the working side of being in sports, and then there's the covering side of being in sports, and so now you're going to cover sports, and you're joining the dark side, so to speak, being on the media side and having to approach it in a different way. But I also think like our role with Rock'em Nation and Rock'em Radio and now Rock'em Plus is that I feel like we've always been a little bit more in tune with sort of like the trials and tribulations of what it's like for, you know, these very real people to be going through these human experiences, and, you know, doing our best to kind of tell those stories, you know, and while still being aware of, like, you know, like the wins and losses, but also, like, you know, recognizing, you know, the challenges that, you know, a school like Missouri often faces.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was interested in possibly joining Rock M Radio and the team is, you know, to me, it's just a great site and source for Mizzou fans to get all sorts of information. But it's not from an overly critical mindset. I don't know if I'm saying that the right way, but, you know, I don't see myself as a journalist per se. I'm not looking to, you know, to stir anything up. I just want to, you know, give people, maybe a fresh set of eyes on things as they happen and some perspective from somebody who's been in the industry for a long time. Maybe that others aren't going to have who are on the team. So I hope that's of value to the Rock M Radio Nation and the fans and followers. And again, I'm just looking forward to being part of it.
Well, so let's pivot a little bit and talk about, at least something that you're sort of, you know, getting more comfortable with right now, which is, you know, your role in writing about, you know, a team that you've been watching for years. You know, you, like you mentioned, you were a part of the team that, you know, sort of recruited the current head coach. He's obviously had his breakthrough season this last year. So attention is sort of at an all-time high. Excitement is at an all-time high. And being able to kind of come in at this point is really good, because it really kind of seems like no matter what we write about Mizzou football, it's going to get a million clicks because people are excited about it. But what are people going to be able to sort of see with your writing? You know, if they want to go to Rock'em Nation, you can right now. You can see, you know, Chad recently had his takeaways in the spring game. You know, what are you looking for when you're kind of watching these games as far as like what stories you want to be able to tell?
Yeah, I think I'm looking more for the hidden key moments or key plays or, you know, maybe an unsung type of performance that doesn't really grab the headlines that stands out. That's kind of my curiosity with things is I like to understand as much as I can why something happened the way it did. And so you've got to rewind the tape, if you will, and, you know, kind of reverse engineer how things took place. And to me, that's the fun of trying to understand things is get into, you know, open up the hood and find out those little reasons as to why something took place the way it did. So that's, I'm looking forward to getting into that for my contributions. And certainly, you know, there's going to be major overarching storylines that we all have our takes on, you know, but I'm going to try to find maybe the little more hidden paths out there that I can hopefully give some decent insight to.
Yeah, I think that's always going to be, you know, one of the things that I feel is like our coverage is always, you know, tried to find those things. And so having another set of eyes is usually a good place to start. You were, you know, definitely tuned in to the spring game. I'm gonna be completely honest here. I don't find spring football to be particularly interesting. I do enjoy football. I really do. Like, I like football. I don't find scrimmages particularly interesting. particularly with football, because part of the interest for me is you know the precision at which you have to play you know in those games. And so I find it really, really difficult as more of a layman who hasn't really I've never played you know outside of flag football with a few buddies when I was maybe in high school. But when you tune into the spring game and you see, like, you know, like a running back hit a hole, but he gets a hand on him and they call the play dead, you know, after a few yards, like, how are you able to, like, discern who's playing well, who's not playing well, and like how are you able to even form takeaways from a game like that?
Well, that's a very valid question, and I don't know that I have a great valid answer, but you know, I mean, heck, I think the first thing I wrote on my recap after the game Saturday was, you know, we actually didn't probably learn too much, but it was just good to see some action. So that's kind of how I took that, the scrimmage the other day. But, and, you know, it reminds me, you know, in my career with Mizzou, you know, I was out at practice every single day, whether it was fall or spring ball. So, you know, I saw, geez, I don't know, maybe 1,000 practices. And, you know, I would always get excited for the first spring practice because it'd been, you know, several months since we'd had football. But then I would always be on the sideline about 15 minutes into the practice, remembering, you know, this is really pretty boring. So you know, watching practice it's cool for somebody that doesn't get to see it ever. But yeah, once you've seen one, you've pretty much seen them all. But anyway, long story short is, yeah, the spring game, is it all that exciting? No, it's really just more of a ritual. I mean, in my mind, just a chance for people to celebrate a game that they love, a program that they love. I never did see what Mizzou called for in attendance on Saturday, but it looked decent from the TV broadcast perspective. So I would imagine they probably had a good, I don't know, 10,000-12,000 people there, hopefully. But it was just a good day. It was a beautiful day from a weather standpoint. The game was fine. You know, it's never real crisp, but it wasn't very sloppy either. I think I wrote that, you know, I was pleasantly surprised that there wasn't more miscues on either side of the ball. So I thought it was, you know, all in all, a good performance, and just kind of serves as a preview for the fall that gets people excited and talking about the Tigers.
Yeah, I think maybe football more than any other sport is, it's like a giant puzzle, like a jigsaw puzzle that's in a million pieces. And coaches have to be able to sort of look at it and all the pieces and, you know, be able to just sort of like form the corners. Right. And then everything by the season, you try to have the whole puzzle put together. Sometimes it takes a few extra weeks. And I imagine going to practice as somebody who's not a football coach is a lot like just staring at like six random pieces of the jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I certainly, in my role, I was not part of building a practice plan or anything like that, but you know, you're around the offices and the coaches and the players enough, you get to know a little bit about what they're trying to get done each day. And, you know, at least in my experience, it was all very routine. You knew exactly what was going to take place on a Tuesday practice versus what a Thursday practice was going to feel like. And that's just part of a football coach's mentality, is the routine. You know, they want consistency for all their guys, the players and the coaches and the staff. And that's just how they do things. But yeah, it's, you know, spring ball is really just a very small part of the equation. And I think that's something I want to write on here going forward for Rockham Nation, is just kind of give a look at, okay, spring ball's over, what's next? You know, and that involves lots of things for the guys, you know, whether it's focusing on schoolwork to finish up the semester the right way from a grade standpoint, injured guys getting rehab, R&R, guys working in the weight room to get bigger, stronger, faster, learning the playbook. The guys will go out and do 7-on-7 drills by themselves that aren't coach-led. Then you get into the summer camp season. Certainly things are a lot different for the athletes now that there's NIL and they can, you know, get paid to do appearances and things like that. And then, you know, you got summer school, summer ball, all that stuff. And then it leads up to to the fall camp when it really gets going for real in August. And I know we all can't wait to get there.
Yeah. It's like the longest off season. College athletics is just takes forever to get from one season to the next.
Yeah.
And I did want to like just kind of touch on before we wrap this up. If you did you have any standouts from the spring game that you kind of wanted to highlight?
So I was pleased from what I saw. You know, I think the biggest question marks going into next year are probably both backfields, both the offensive backfield and the defensive backfield, losing all the talent that that's matriculated out. And I was encouraged by what I saw on Saturday in the spring game. And again, you know, it's Mizzou playing against Mizzou. So how much can you really take out of it?
Other. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like it's the number one offense playing against the number one defense. It's a mix and match scenario, you know, where they had the teams drafted. But anyway, I was impressed with what I saw in the defensive secondary. I think Drayden Norwood and Toriano Pride. Pride had a real big, a really nice athletic interception at one point, I think, in the second quarter. You know, and you didn't see guys running around, you know, 10 yards behind coverage, you know, with broken coverage. So I thought that was encouraging for a somewhat inexperienced secondary. I thought they stood up real well. And then on the other side, you know, you mentioned it earlier, it's tough to get a great feel for the running game when guys are ruled down, you know, with a one-hand touch. But I think I'm just impressed and encouraged by the depth that the Tigers are going to have in the offensive backfield. You know, it's been mostly a one-man show under Drink with the running back, really not much of a rotation at all. And obviously last year it was Cody Schrader, Mr. All-Everything, All-American, and losing him like we did, you know, then you wonder, okay, well, who's going to pick up the slack? Well, Drink and his staff hit the transfer portal hard, and they got Marcus Carroll from Georgia State and Nate Noel from App State. And then with the other guys coming back, Taurus Jones and others, you know, I think there's going to be good depth. And if they want to find a workhorse and get him 85% of the carries, you know, I think they've got a guy to do it. But then I also think they've got a chance to do a little bit of, I don't know, lightning and thunder, if you will, with Carroll and Noel, you know, if they want to have a little bit of mix and match there too. So, I think those are my two of my bigger takeaways is that the defensive backfield and the running backs, I think, are going to look okay. They're going to be all right.
Well, good. That sounds good to me. I like to hear that people are feeling good about the season. I know that the momentum, no pun intended on that, you know, here with our show, but the momentum for the program seems to really be in the right place. I know that, you know, fan expectations are also pretty high. Outside expectations appear to be high as well. Even as the SEC expands, league gets a little tougher. Got some familiar foes coming back from the old Big 12 days. Are you excited for the SEC welcoming in Oklahoma and Texas?
Do I have to give an honest answer?
You can be as honest as you want.
No. You know, I think it's great for the league. I do. And I think it's cool to have Oklahoma and Texas back in the fold. I know there's talks of what A&M, these are just the rumor mill, of course, but A&M not pleased with Texas joining. They, you know, they left the Big 12 to get away from Texas. So it's going to be interesting to see how some of that drama plays out going forward. But no, I think it's great. And, you know, all I know is I'm just so glad that Mizzou is in the SEC and not hanging on for dear life in a conference that who knows where it's going to be, you know, 10 years down the road. So, you know,
next year's Big 12 looks wild. Like,
I know it's so
Central
interesting.
Florida and BYU and Arizona State.
Like, Utah.
This is one conference.
I know. It's crazy.
But yeah, it does sort of appear that, you know, the Big Ten, which is now many more teams than just 10, in the SEC are really kind of getting a strong hold over the power of college football. So I think it's going to be a fascinating thing. I don't know, like, if you, I know we're kind of talking about keeping this about 30 minutes. So getting into larger college landscape, maybe for another time. But it's certainly going to be interesting to follow over like the next, you know, 3-4 years to see, like, you know, how those two leagues are, you know, able to kind of wield their power, particularly when it comes to college football.
Yeah, no doubt. It's, you know, I think we're only on the front end of the bell curve, if you will, or whatever you want to call it. But I think there's a ton of changes coming down the pike, and Mizzou's position to survive it all.
Yeah, that's good. Finding a good solid home in the SEC I can't remember who, if it was, you know, Deaton or Pinkel or somebody at the time said this is like a 100-year decision. And you know, I really, you know, I think they're correct. Like it was a big decision to make. I think it was the right one to make. They're in solid footing, and now things are, you know, potentially lining up for Mizzou to kind of be in the upper tier of that, you know, that league, which I think says a lot. So we're going to wrap this up. So I think we're just going to start calling you Mo since this is the Mo show.
Sure. Makes sense.
I have to get used to, because I've just been calling you, you know, Chad through like texts and all that, but this is the Mo show. So Mo, is there anything else that you want to let the listeners know before we wrap this up and get out of here?
Oh boy. You know, putting me on the spot there, I'm not quick on my feet tonight. I guess I've need some more caffeine or something. So no, I don't have anything great for you other than I really appreciate the chance to do this. I'm really looking forward to getting into it. I guess I beg everyone's patience as I learn the craft of podcasting and what goes into it, and you know, trying to put on a good product for everybody. But I'm definitely looking forward to rolling up my sleeves and getting after it, and bringing some interesting figures of Mizzou history out there so we can have some fun with it.
Well, I think you lined up a good first guest for that. Like, I don't think you're going to have any complaints with how, realistically, you could just get Mike Kelly to just say, like, you know, bang and to the house and stuff like that for like 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And people would love it. So,
exactly.
So I'm excited for that. So Mo, thank you for joining our team. I'm excited. I'm excited for what this podcast can be and can become. I do want to kind of bring this up, that this is going to be sort of like a big staple for what we're trying to accomplish with RockM.Plus. If you are a subscriber, you're going to have early access to all of these great interviews. There's going to be some opportunities for you to know who the guests are coming up. Also, toss out potential questions that Mo may ask these people. And I think that's a really sort of great benefit of our new service. So if you haven't already, head over to RockM.Plus online, hit that subscribe button. Get into the forums. If you're into the transfer portal stuff, that's flying wild, and all that kind of stuff on the basketball side of things. And it's quiet for football right now, so that's not necessarily a bad thing. But as soon as things ramp up with some recruiting and all that kind of stuff, we'll be on top of it there as well. So the next time that you tune into the Mo Show will be sans this guy. And it'll be, I always got to get used to it because it's the opposite. It'll be this guy over here hosting the show.
Yeah, it is opposite, isn't it?
With Mike Kelly. I can't wait for it. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. We're excited for this brand new show. And we'll be back with more episodes of Rockin' Radio coming at you soon. So until then, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Rock-M Radio, a proud partner of Fans First Sports Network. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to see more just like it beamed directly into your personal device, just click the subscribe button below. Beep. And you can find this podcast through the Apple Podcasts app or for iPhone or the Google Podcasts app for Android or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. We are also available on Spotify. Just search for Rock-M Radio. And if you like other sports, Fans First Sports Network is a podcast network that has coverage of all other teams, Major League Baseball, MLS, NFL, whatever you want to listen and read about. It is a great, great network full of really fantastic podcasts. So look them up and subscribe to any and all of those podcasts. Rock-M Radio will be back with more episodes coming soon. Thanks.